Ashley Stratton is a motivational speaker with a message. Having dealt with the terrible trial of vertigo, Ashley was forced to leave behind her dreams or figure out how she could still reach her goals. Learn about Ashley's story as she was able to overcome her vertigo and is now reaching her dreams. Today on the Be Do Concept podcast.
Go out and be the person you were meant to be, and then go deep. The things that you were meant to do. It's up to you what you will be and do. And it's in everything you be and do that makes you you.
Hi, I'm Lindy Kirby, mother of seven, speaker, singer-songwriter, mentor, author, podcaster, and the founder and developer of the Be Do Concept. And you're listening to the Be Do Concept podcast. Today, I have Ashley Stratton with me. I'm so excited to let you hear from her today. She is an award-winning motivational speaker. She has a background in performance, and she's been trained by one of the top 10 motivational speakers in the country. She engages her audience and entertains them at the same time. She's a certified speaker, and she is doing amazing things. She's got a book about pursuing goals, and she has a podcast called The Purpose-Filled Life. I'm super excited to hear more about her story today. She is one of my friends from the National Speakers Association, but she just to me seems like one of those people that is being who she's meant to be and doing what she's meant to do. So I'm so excited to get to learn more about her story. So thank you, Ashley, for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to chat and share some things with your audience. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, I would love for our audience to get to know you a little bit better. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, and then a little bit about your story and how it came to be, how you came to be doing what you're doing now.
Sure. I would love that. So right now, the biggest thing that I'm working on is I'm crafting a brand new keynote. So I've had a goal setting keynote that I'm really passionate about, but I went through a pretty crazy experience with having vertigo 24/7 for about a year. And it really changed my perspective on the goal setting process, because I realized, wow, well, what happens when hard things come up? Or what happens if you fail? Or what happens if you have fear or anxiety or anything like that along the process, which most of us do. And yeah. So I'm creating a brand new keynote that I'm almost done with, that I'm really excited about, that I'm going to put out towards some student leadership audiences and some entrepreneur audiences. So I'm really excited about that. That's something I'm working on. I'm working along a book that goes along with that. So all of these things take time. So those are two things that I'm working on right now, but I'd love to share how I got into the speaker world. So when I was in my teenage years, I had a few opportunities to have a voice and use my voice to speak and to share a powerful message. So I did a local pageant and I was able to win that. And that, so I had, you know, the pageant platforms. I think that's one thing that we don't see in the pageant world is all the service that goes on behind all of these people on stage. They all have what's called a platform, which is a service project that they feel passionate about. And then they go and serve in their communities and do a lot of good. So thousands of hours of service have been put in by pageant people, you know, but usually you only see what's shiny on stage, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. So I got my feet wet in that. And one thing that I did is I went and shared my message to elementary schools about striving for excellence and reaching your goals. And so that's kind of where my obsession, I think, came with the goal setting process was during that. And I used some specific goal setting methods during the pageant process that really opened my eyes to be like, wow, these processes actually work. And I got to share those with kids. And it was so much fun for me. And then I went to college and I heard that Dan Clark, who's one of the top 10 speakers in the world, was teaching a public speaking class, but it was on a Friday afternoon from like 12 to 3, just once a week. And what college student wants to be in class in a Friday afternoon from 12 to 3? You know, we were hoping you're done by class by Friday afternoon. And so I was like, man, I don't want to take this class. Like, I'll just take a normal public speaking class during the week. That's like 8 a.m. You know, I didn't know who Dan was. And so, but luckily I was discussing my schedule with my dad and he's like, no, he's like, when they bring in a real world person to the college campus, you need to take their class. And I'm like, fine. So kind of at my dad's insistence, I took Dan's class. And it changed my life. Truly, it just changed my life. it just set my heart on fire and cemented in my heart my desire to be a professional speaker. Going in and hearing a very high level keynote every Friday from him, and hearing what it takes to be a speaker, and he always taught us just beautiful life lessons. It was absolutely incredible and life-changing. And then I had an opportunity to have a small speaking job with a guy who did, he would go speak to troubled teen homes. So he hired me to come and speak with that. And then I also had some opportunities being a part of leadership on campus in college, where I was able to speak at leadership conferences. So all these little experiences just kind of just sprinkled through my life, just really helped me realize, wow, I love sharing a powerful message that can help somebody change. And I have had opportunities too, where I've heard powerful speeches that have just been like little shift points. I feel like a good speech is an opportunity for you to make a shift point in your life. I don't feel like it's, what I mean by shift point is, sorry, I'm just going off on a little tangent here. I feel so powerful about, so passionate about a good speech. I don't feel like you'll go to a speech and your whole life will be turned upside down and you'll do a 180. I feel like when you go to a powerful speech, they can help you realize a shift point. A shift point is like, I heard this story about a man who's working on a railroad, and a baggage car, it was back when people would travel by train, and a baggage car ended up 1,300 miles away from its passengers. And it's because there was a switch point in St. Louis, and a thoughtless switchman just shifted the steel just 3 inches. And that switch point caused the baggage car to end up 1,300 miles away from their passengers in New Jersey. And so that's how I feel a powerful speech is. It can help you make a 3-inch shift point that will help you end up in a totally different place than where you are today. Just giving those thoughts going of like, wow, I'm going to make this little bit of change in my life that will help you change the rest of your life. So that's how I feel about my speeches. That's kind of how I got started. Then I had kids. And then my life flipped upside down for about a decade. And then just the past 3 years, I finally have got back into speaking, went through a speaker certification course, and I've been speaking ever since. So that's a little bit about me. And sorry, it took so long to get there.
No.
That's where my journey started. And I'm a mother of four. So I had four kids during that decade break. And then got back into speaking 3 years ago because I always knew that that was where I was going to end up. I just always knew. Just
that's
some-
what I was going to ask. Have you always felt like that's what you wanted to be? And when did that start initially?
Yes. Oh, I always knew. Like when I took Dan's class in college, that was, so I'm turning 34 in like a month. So I was 19 years old when I took his class. So that was, holy cow, that was like 14, 15 years ago. Wow.
When you took Dan Clark's class? Oh, wow.
That just seems so long ago. I don't feel that old.
And you're still young.
Yeah. But after I took his class, it was just, as I said, it was cemented in my heart that that's what I wanted to do. But I also knew that I wanted to have children and become a mother. That was extremely important to me. So I could have tried to pursue my professional career while I was having kids, but it was so difficult. I had my kids, I had every 2 years apart. So I had six, I had, when my oldest son was six, I had my fourth child. So I had four kids under six. And it was just really hard for me to do anything else but keep my head above water. And luckily my husband could provide for our family. So I didn't have to work part-time or anything like that. I could just focus on getting through raising my children and all the postpartum phases. And it was just too hard for me at the time to pursue a public speaking career, because a lot of times you'll have to travel for that, or maybe go out of town or spend a long time away from your family. So I just thought, you know, I just don't feel like this is a good time for me, but I always knew in the back of my head that when I was ready, that's where I was headed.
That is so exciting, Ashley. And we have a lot of in common. So that's fun, because I did the same thing. I thought I wanted to be this musical actress. It was actually my dream as an elementary school. But then I got married my very first year in college. And so I thought, okay, well, that's the end of that career.
Yeah.
But I had this feeling, like you said, in the back of your mind, I still felt like I was going to do these big things, but it would just have to come later. And I think being a mom and taking that time is so, so good. And I'm sure your example for your kids is huge. As they see you living your dreams and doing what you've always felt like you were meant to do. Do you feel like you're there, or, you know, that you're in that process at least?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm in the process. Do I feel like I've made it officially?
Right.
Not all the way, but I definitely feel like I'm on the road for sure. And I had a goal this year to have 4 paid speaking gigs, and I have. So I feel like I'm on the process, you know, of becoming and doing what I've always wanted to do. And it, just the motherhood process as well, led me to what my book is currently going about right now. I've interviewed almost 70 moms on how to pursue your goals without sacrificing what's most important. Because for me, there's no goal or no dream that would be worth sacrificing those most important things. Because I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and say, wow, I have this successful career and I have all this money, but I've sacrificed my children's relationships and my spouse's relationships. I didn't want to do that. Or maybe my faith, things that are important to me, you know? And so I have just gone down this journey of figuring out, how do you do that? How do you pursue your goals? How do you put your goals up there that are important along with your family? How do you accomplish them all? You know, because it's really difficult to do all of the things that you love and make time for all of those things. So I've been doing my own mini research project on that, and it's been really interesting.
I was just going to say, I'm sure everyone's as curious as I am. Like, what is the highest one that you would say everyone has, or how do you navigate?
So one thing that I've asked every single person that I've interviewed is, I've said, do you feel like it's possible to pursue your goals and still put your faith and family first, or the things that are most important to you? Because those are the things that are most important to me. And every single person has said, absolutely. Except I had one mom who, she felt like it was difficult for her to do it while she had young kids. But the rest have said absolutely, and have been able to do it with young kids. But some big factors in going into that support have been having, support like of any kind, whether that's through maybe a spouse, or maybe it's just having like a teenage helper coming in for an hour after school during that rush hour when you're trying to make dinner and do a million things. Or maybe having a good group of friends or a mastermind group, having some type of support has been a big indicator for a lot of people's success. And then another one is just dealing with the learning curves that come. A lot of people get frightened away from the learning curves when things come up that they don't know how to deal with. But the women who have just embraced it, like, I don't know how to do this, but they just went through it anyway and figured it out, those are the ones that continue to be successful and not let the fear of the unknown get in the way.
Oh, so I love that. And that's what I love. That's the do thinking, when you just take one step at a time and you just do it and you don't know what's going to happen. You just keep taking that next step. I love what you said about getting rid of the fear. And that's what your book, you said, is about. Yes. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Did you have like some kind of fear that you had to overcome, or something like that?
So a big one, I'd love to share just my vertigo story and how I got through that fearful part. So when I was pursuing my speaking certification, Dan Clark always told us what he said. People always ask, why should I listen to you? And you have to have that credibility piece. And so I was like, well, I want to up my credibility and get some type of certification. So it's like, so I seem legit. So I have a few letters behind my name, you know, so I have a little bit more even understanding on how to craft and create a good speech. So I took a speaker certification, and during that, it was several weeks long. And during that, my family and I went to Lake Powell, a popular lake in Utah. That's where we're from. And during that time, we never left the water. We kept our houseboat in the slip, which is like a parking spot for the houseboats. So it was on the water. And then we'd go from the boat, our actual boat, to the houseboat. So we never left the water for like 7 days. And I came home from that trip and I just never quit rocking. But it wasn't like I was just like rocking kind of after a cruise ship. It was like I was on a stormy sea, like all day long. Like my head just felt so dizzy. Like it just would not go away. It was relentless. So I'd lay down to sleep at night and my head would be banging so bad I couldn't fall asleep. And so I started experiencing insomnia for the first time in my life, and I'd stay up all night long. And then a terrible brain fog set in. I think the fatigue and the vertigo combined, and I started running into walls. I was forgetting my groceries at the grocery store. I would talk to my neighbors who I lived by for years and I couldn't remember their names. And like some days I was just so dizzy that I was bedridden. I couldn't even get out of bed. It just got so bad. I also think combined with the just the anxiety of not knowing if it would go away or not made it even worse. I started getting really stressed about it. I remember one day I baked a loaf of bread and I just had to lay down for 2 hours to recover because I was just so exhausted from trying to stand up straight. And then I would get on my Zoom calls for my training every week and I couldn't, the Zoom calls would send me into a dizzy spell, like just staring at the screen. And so I had to tell the person that was doing the certification that I needed to just take a break and stop and take care of my physical health because I just couldn't even function. And I just sobbed and sobbed. I was so devastated because I was like, I'm finally pursuing this goal and now I'm stopping. And I didn't know when there was, I didn't know if there's an end in sight either. Because I started going down the Google rabbit hole and reading about science. People have had this for their whole lives and it never goes away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just didn't know what to do. So I started going to doctor after doctor and I was convinced there was just probably some water trapped in my inner ear. And I was like, from my Lake Powell trip, I'm like, oh, I'll just go and they'll clear, give me some drops and clear it up. And one doctor told me, he's like, your ears are fine. There's nothing in there. And I cried so hard after that doctor appointment because I was so convinced that's what it was. And I actually didn't believe him. I went to another doctor and got a second opinion. And he's like, yeah, you're fine. Like, and I started seeing more doctors and none of them could find anything wrong with me. I had MRIs to rule out, like maybe there's a brain tumor pushing on something, making you dizzy, CT scans. And I went to I found a brain clinic treatment center and did a full treatment there, spent thousands of dollars, like, and nothing was wrong with me. And the brain clinic didn't really help either. And so I kind of started searching on the internet for help, like just looking for people who had similar symptoms. I reached out to one lady on Instagram, stranger to me, and she recommended a book called Rock Steady. And it was called, and it's Healing Vertigo and Tinnitus Through Neuroplasticity, which is the hope that you can retrain your brain, and your brain is malleable and it's like a muscle and it can be retrained. And that book saved me, like saved me, because it was the first idea of that, like just to almost accept and allow what's happening in your body and then focus on the feelings that you want to have of like peace and confidence and steadiness. And so I bought these online meditations that this lady had, the same author from the book. Her name is Joey Remini. And in one of her meditations, she said, when you go to sleep tonight, she said, don't fight the vertigo. Like, and every time I'd go to try to lay down and go to sleep, I would be trying to like expel it almost, just like replace it with positive thinking, or just like, or I'd lay down and I would just like beg for it to go away, you know, or I'd fight it. I would just be fighting this internal battle, like trying to get rid of it out of my head. I try to do physical exercises, just trying to fight it. But she said to allow it. And that was so foreign to me. I was like, what? Like allow it? Like that's just the weirdest thing. So I remember laying down to go to sleep. And for the first time, I was like, okay, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm just going to allow it to be in my body. And I remember closing my eyes and I felt extra dizzy, like, whoa, this is so weird, like just allowing this to be in my body. But when I just allowed it to be there, I fell asleep for the first time, like in months. Just within about 10 minutes, I was asleep and I slept the whole night. And that was really eye-opening to me because I realized, wow, like how many things do we fight and cause all this tension to build up in our body, or not just allow ourselves to be human? Like I've realized this applies to so many different things, even just raising my son and my kids, them trying new things, allowing themselves to make mistakes. Like in sports or in music, like my son was playing the piano the other day and just pounding his fists on the piano because he's getting so frustrated making mistakes. And I just looked at him and smiled and I said, this is part of the process. Like if you just allow yourself to make mistakes and to have a moment, you won't feel that frustration. You'll be like, oh yeah, this is part of the process. And you won't get the anxiety and the stress when you're fighting it so hard or pounding your fist. Be like, oh yeah, if I'm making mistakes, I'm doing it right. This is part of the process. And I think if we can allow our mistakes and allow our fears to be a part of us, it's so much easier to get back to the doing, like what you talk about, you know? It's just so much easier when we talk kindly to ourselves and we just allow that to be a part of the journey. And I didn't realize that before, how much I wasn't allowing myself to be imperfect or to have like a bad thing happen in my life. I think that can even go along with people who've been through divorce or abuse or anything like that, being, you know what, this is part of my story and I'm going to allow it to be there. Like, I'm not going to fight it anymore. This is who I am. Like, my life's been messy. I've been through some hard things. Like, just allowing that to be part of us. Like, that's okay. And I think most people actually relate more so to that, to the hard things and the journey and the mistakes, than they do the perfect story. So that's been a part of my journey, is just, wow, allowing these messy, hard parts to be part of it. And it actually makes it easier, I think, to just glide through it so you can get back to how you want to feel. So the allow part is part of my new keynote.
Oh my goodness, Ashley, I love it. There is so much there that you just said. I would say that everything you just explained with the letting it go and allowing yourself to experience it and make mistakes and be imperfect, that is the B way of thinking. That mm-hmm. is letting things be, being who you are, and it's okay mm-hmm. to be who you are. And I love that you were so far into the doing, you know, you were excited to do. And then this thing hit you, yeah. which it does to everybody. We always have these things that come up and stop us in our tracks. And a lot of times we can get stuck there, but then you just figured out, you know, I can just let this go. I can just let it happen. And I'm sure you said it got worse for a time, but mm-hmm. then you experienced that. And then once yeah. that feeling kind of passed through, is that when it got better? And
yep, that was the first part of me getting better, the very first part. The second part of me getting better was shifting my focus, like, to, okay, now how do I want to feel? Like, what are the feelings I want to feel in my brain? For me it was confidence and peace. Those were like the two biggest things that I wanted to feel. And so part of that was like slowly dragging myself back to my speaker certification and just being, because there were other people doing it with me and being surrounded by other people who were confident and pursuing their goals, and showing up every Wednesday to these calls that I was doing with my speaker certification, it slowly made me be like, wow, I want something to share, like during my weekly meetings, of how I'm moving forward. And it was just a little bit inch by inch of focusing on how I wanted to feel and creating that feeling in my life again, but still just consistently having to practice the allow part, just that allowing the hard things to be a part of my life while inching forward in the other parts of my life, until slowly the vertigo started to slip to the back of my mind as I started focusing on the confidence and the peace and the moving forward. And a big part of that was being surrounded by people who are also moving forward. Because I think if I would have just been on my own, trying to figure it out on my own, I might have slipped back into the anxiety and the stress of it a little easier. But being surrounded by other people who are also moving forward helped me remember that that's where I wanted to be. You know, that I wanted to be like my peers. I know that saying is so cliche and said over and over again, that you're a product of the top five people that you hang around with the most,
yes.
which I know that is like pounded into our heads, but that was very true for me. And I feel like I experienced that in real time. And some of the first paid speaking gigs that I had out of that were because of the relationships that I made in that group. So I feel like that was a very real thing for me, is just surrounding yourself by the right people too, to help you pursue your goals.
Oh my goodness, Ashley, that is wonderful. And I love that you said that you shifted your focus to figuring out what you wanted to feel. I didn't even know that was possible. I was very much the do thinker and doing this and doing that, but I felt helpless when it came to feeling anxious or feeling stuck or feeling like I couldn't move forward. And that be thinking is, how do I want to feel? And by focusing on what you want to feel, choosing how you want to feel, it is a switch in focus. It's figuring out, you know, I could be feeling this anxiety. I could be feeling this, even the vertigo that you were feeling, mm-hmm. to think, well, what do I want to feel instead? And that's powerful when people realize that that's actually a focus, not that it completely goes away, but I think it gets easier and easier to focus on something else.
Right.
That hard thing. And so it kind of, it does it still stay or is it completely gone now?
No, it comes back when I get really stressed.
Yeah.
Funny, because I think I realized that, I think the vertigo, after working with lots of doctors, then I started working with a therapist and focusing more on the mental side of that. And we feel like the vertigo was a physical symptom of my body, like trying to stop me from adding all this extra stress into my life. And my body just kind of shut down, which I can actually look, but looking back, I was doing a lot at the time. And I don't think my body and was ready, like, and my mind, I think my body knew I wasn't ready to do everything I was doing. And it just kind of shut me down. And I'm grateful for that experience now, looking back, because I feel like it allowed me to experience some things and just have some more compassion for people who are going through other hard physical things. I remember after one doctor appointment, I was just like so devastated, again, getting no more results. And I called my husband on the way home and I was just crying. And he said to me, after listening to me, he just said, you know, he said, how are we supposed to have empathy for others if we ourselves don't know what it feels like? And I'm like, you're right. Like, how can I have sympathy for other people if I don't go through something like this myself, you know? And I remember seeing on my way home from that, I saw this like extremely obese man and he was walking with a limp and my heart just like went to the floor for him. And I was just like, you know what? What's he going through? What's his story? You know, I'm sure like he's coming out of the hospital and I was just like, wow. Like we all have a story behind something going on. And I think it gives us more sympathy and we can relate to others better when we feel something like that. So I'm grateful for that experience that I was able to go through, but it does come up again sometimes when I take on too much and then I have to go back through that whole process again. I'm like, okay, we got to just allow this to be here again. And truly, I just have to repeat that over and over again and then shift my focus again. Like, but I can do it faster now. I'm not as slow, whereas before it would take me months to recover. Now I can recover within like a day or two. So it's not as terrible, but it's been a practice. It's been a learning curve. And I'm grateful that I can like shift through something like an onset vertigo from anxiety things that I can just shift it pretty quickly now.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think that's how it is with everything we go through. Don't you think? The first time it hits us, we're like, wham, bam, it takes us totally out of our place. And we're like, I'm never going to get over this. Life is awful. But then we do, we get a little bit better at handling our own particular trial. I think that's why they say sometimes if we could take somebody else's trial, we'd be like, ah, can I have mine back?
Yeah. Yes.
How to deal with our own trial. But I also love what you said about how I think our bodies know what we can handle. And sometimes those physical things that happen maybe are our body who loves us and cares about us, but it's like, I can't do this. I'm going to shut down for you to help you through this hard thing that you're going through.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes,
that is exactly what happened to me. And I just realized too, like how much our bodies and minds are in tune and work together through that whole process. I think that our minds can, I don't know, for better or worse, our minds can help our bodies to move forward. And so I think that that's why it's so important to pay attention to where our thinking is going. Like a lot of time when anxiety or fearful things strike up, are we going to lean into those and focus on those? Because that will shut us down physically. Yes. Like even if it's just taking action on our goals, if we lean into the fear and scarcity mindset, there's no way we're going to be taking physical action on things. But if we can lean into those things of how we want to feel, like whatever that is for steadiness, confidence, peace, like powerfulness, like whatever it is for people, like shining, I don't know, you know, just have those feelings of however they want to feel. If we can lean into those with our mind, then we can start to take physical action on those. I think our mind and body are closely related.
I love that. Ashley, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd just like to share in parting?
Yeah, I would just, since I love goal setting, I'll leave you with a little goal setting tip. One thing that's really powerful, if you're not doing it already, is just writing your goals down every day. So even if you are just thinking about them all the time, you're thinking, wow, I really want to do this thing. I challenge you to write it down every morning. Just keep it right at the forefront of your mind so that you remember to take action on it during the day. That makes a big difference. Grant Cardone, he's the author of The 10X Rule and Self-Made Billionaire. That's something that he does, but he writes his down once in the morning and once at night. But I would just challenge you to start just doing it once a day. See if you can develop that habit and see how it helps you out.
Oh, I love that. And it helps you keep your focus, right? On what it is that you want. So then you're doing and you're being.
Yes.
Being the person you want to be and doing what you want to do. So I love that. Ashley, where can we find you? On the internet or on Facebook, anywhere?
Yeah. Yep. You can find me. The easiest way to contact me or find me is probably on Instagram. It's Real Ashley Stratton is my Instagram handle. And it's Ashley with two E's. And if you want to book me for speaking things, you can do that through my website, ashleystratton.com. And it's Ashley with two E's.
Perfect. And we'll put those links in the comment or in the description too. So thanks so much, Ashley. And we will talk to you guys next week on the Be Do Concept podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's up to Y-O-U what you will be and do. And it's in everything you be and do that makes you you.